auf der Papier Base, Pass Gimel, wo Hanno Seres, mit einem Menchel, die Arnul, wo Nevel Kodesh, Kodosh, Mei, Shei Hashem. It says over here that the leftovers, after the Kohen burns on the Mizbeach, after he puts on the Mizbeach, the Kemitza, which includes, in the Kemitza, there's going to be, so far we're dealing with the first of the five different types of Menachos. There are five Menachos, the first of them is Soilas. A mincha made from soilas, the mincha is made from soilas, which is not put in an oven, it's just regular flour. And the amount of flour is an asiris ho'efa. An asiris ho'efa, stam mincha is a mincha soilas. It's an asiris ho'efa, it's mixed with oil, a small amount of oil. Oil is a revi'a sahin, and I assume it's mixed together. And then on the top of this mincha, you put some levoina. It doesn't tell you how much levoina is put. It sounds like a small amount.
And it's on the side.
On the side, but it's on top. It's in the bowl, on top of the bowl. It's on the top. You have a bowl of flour, and in the flour, in the bowl there's flour. And then on top of the flour, you pour the oil and you mix it. And then after you finish mixing it, you put on the top, you put along the side on the top, not to get in the way of the kemitz that you will do in the moment, you put the levoina. You bring it to the Kohen does a kemitza, he slices it, he puts his fingers all the way down into the bowl, and he then bends the three middle fingers, and he puts in his hand, he takes in the three middle fingers, he takes a small amount of flour, and he raises it up out of the bowl, and he takes his finger, his pinky and his thumb, and he shaves off any excess that comes out on top, on the bottom, and then he takes that amount, that whatever he has in those three fingers, and he deposits it in a different utensil. And on that utensil, he then goes back to utensil number one. He takes off some of the flakes of the levoina. He collects those flakes and he puts those flakes onto plate number two, where he has deposited the kemitza. In addition, at some point in time, I don't know when, he adds salt. Al kol karbon chatak v melach. He adds salt to this mixture. This mixture that he has here in this plate, in this second utensil, which now is comprised of a small amount of flour and some oil, and the flakes of the levoina and salt, is called the azkarasa. That's the azkarasa. Why is it called an azkarasa? So we learned yesterday in Rashi that when this thing will be put on the mizbeach, it will be a zikaroin for this person. This, not the leftovers. The leftovers is not the azkarasa. The azkarasa is the portion that's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. The kohen takes this utensil with these ingredients, the flour, the oil, the levoina, and the salt that's been added to it, and he touches the corner of the mizbeach, called the hagosha. Hagosha. And after that is done, he proceeds to go up the ramp, and he brings it to the fire, and he turns it upside down, and he deposits the contents of this utensil into the fire, and it's burned on the mizbeach, and that is called that he's fulfilled the mitzvah of bringing the azkarasa l'Hashem. So there are four parts to this carbon. There is the kemitza, the bending of the three fingers. There is the nisina b'chli. After the kemitza is done, it is deposited in the utensil. That's number two. Number three is he walks with it. He walks to the mizbech, hoylocha. And number four is the haktara, the burning of this small amount on the fire of the mizbech. These four components that we have mentioned correspond to the four different elements of a carbon, of an animal sacrifice. An animal sacrifice has shechita, kabbalah, hoylocha, and Zirika. Okay, there are four things that are done to an animal, and corresponding to those four things, we have four things that are done by a mincha. They're very different, obviously. What is the most fundamental difference between these two? Even though the mincha has the status of Kodesh Kodoshim, so you would think it's Kodesh Kodoshim, and Kodesh Kodoshim Shchitosan Bat Sofayim, when it comes to an animal, the Shchit is on the north side, so you would think that maybe this mincha also, the Kemitza, should be on the north side of the Azara. Kamash Molon, it does not need to be done on the north side, it can be done anywhere in the Azar. Number two, with regard to Shchita, regard to a carbon, the first thing that is done is done. The first thing that is done is a Shchita. It can be done by a Zar. Me Ikar Hadin, it can be done by a Yisrael. It need not be done by a Kohen. But with regard to the Kemitz can only be done by a Kohen. Okay, that is a nutshell of what we learned yesterday. Now we're going to Pasuk Gimel, V'hanoseres. Now what do you do with the leftover? What do you do with the leftover flour? Menamincha la'aron ulevan, it goes to Aaron and his children. Kodesh Kodashim, it is called Kodesh Kodashim me'ishei Hashem. And what does that mean? Tell you off the bat, Kodesh Kodashim, it may not leave the Azara. Kodesh Kodashim can leave the Azara, can leave the Harabayis, and can go anywhere in Yerushalayim. You have to, you know, you have to imagine the scene. Can you imagine? You go to, if you go to Yerushalayim. Think about this. If you go to Yerushalayim, Bizman Shabesim the Hayakayim, what would you see? You would see many people leaving the Har Habayis with massive pieces of meat, because they would do the shechita. They would bring most of the korbanos were shlamim, kodshei kala, and kodshei kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So they'd go back to the hotel. They'd go back to the plaza, hail down a taxi, and you would take massive chunks of meat. They would bring parim, kvasim, massive pieces of meat. They would do the shechita, the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would, the kohanim would burn the chalavim. They would do the haktaras, they would do the shechita sadam, and then they would the chazav shoy goes to the kohen, and then then the leftover meat, which is a massive amounts of meat, is eaten by the owner of the korban anywhere they want to eat it in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Machane Yisrael. That's the meat. So therefore, can you imagine the scene? You probably see people coming out of the Beis HaMikdash with chunks of meat. A little strange, no? You used to go, today you don't see people walking in the street with pieces of meat. Okay, I mean, there are delivery people go to the store, go shopping, you have a shopping cart, yeah, I have bags, I have deliveries, but do you see people carrying around with them big pieces of meat that they just took out of the Beis HaMikdash? That's what it would appear. Now, the mincha is called Kodesh Kodashim, which means they can only be eaten by the Kohanim, and they may not leave the Beis HaMikdash. So here, it says over here in Rashi, when a seres mena mincha li aron ulevanav, koyin gadol noitel chilek b'rosh. Why does it say over here, la'aroin ulebanav? Why does it say aron ulebanav? To teach you, aron is shakal keneged kol of his children. If aron wants, he takes a chilek b'rosh. Shelo b'machlekes, the head yet b'machlekes. In other words, he takes first. There's no division. Okay, I'm not sure I know the exact translation of here. Machlekes means division. If the Kohen Gadol, he has first choice. If he wants the entire mincha for himself, that's his entitlement. If he doesn't want it, he's not here today, and who is going to eat the shirayim of the korban? It's going to be the kohanim. No one has a right to say, I want it. It is distributed equally. There is a system. What the system is, I don't know, but there's a pios, there are lotteries, but there are mishmorais, batei av. Everyone, all the kohanim are divided into 24 groups. They're divided and turned into, each group is itself broken up into 6 groups, and there are lotteries. The leftovers are distributed according to a system, according to some order that they have decided upon. The Kohen Gadol is not subject to the rules. He wants to eat, he takes whatever he wants. That's why we have these two words juxtaposed, La'arim, L'ban of Kohen Gadol, L'chel B'resh, Shaloi B'machlekes, V'ahegid B'machlekes. Okay, then it says, Kodesh Kodashim, Hilohem, it's called Kodesh Kodashim, V'yishe Hashem, Ein Lohem Chelik Bo, Elo La'achar, Madnoi So'ishim. So this is a very important word. This is really this was the whole chait of the Bnei Eli, Chofni Pinchas. Why were Chofni Pinchas? Why was the Mikdash Shiloh destroyed? Why was Mikdash Shiloh? So there were a couple of reasons. But one of the reasons was that the Chofni Pinchas, they took their portion before the portion that's supposed to go to Hashem was completely burnt. The Kohanim are not entitled to take the leftovers until after the Azkorosa is on the Mizbeach and is burning. Only after it's been burnt, or at least it's on the fire, it's burning, then are the Kohanim entitled to take now the leftovers for themselves. And that's what it says, Me'ishe Hashem. Ein lechem chilek bo ela li'achar matnoi so'ishim. Only after they've offered the fire offering. Okay, only, but before that it's forbidden. Chofni u'Pinchas, they were in such a rush to get the meat, the leftover meat. They began eating their portion before the fats and the portion of the carbon that's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbech before it was done. And that was a terrible Avera. That was a very bad Avera, and that was partially the reason why Shilei was destroyed and Chofni and Pinchas were killed. And Eli HaKoyin, upon hearing what happened to his children, including really what happened to the Aron HaKodesh, it was captured in war. He fainted, he fell backwards, and he cracked his neck and he died. Okay, let's now take a look over here and see if the Unkelis says something controversial. Unkelis? More? Targumim? Unkelis. U de ishtaor min chosa, the leftovers. Whatever's left over. La'arnu levnoi, kodesh kutchen, me korbona yoda Hashem. Okay, so if you notice over here, they put this in bold. The editor here puts this in bold, indicating that Unkelis is pulling over you a fast one. This is not precise. This is commentary. Ishe means fire offering, and he says from the korban. Now, it could very well be that's exactly what Rashi did not like. Rashi says, Me'ishe Hashem does not mean a korban. Ein lohem chelik bo ela la'achar matnos ha'ishim. Okay, there's a drasha here. There's a drasha. The drasha here is that the word Me'ishe Hashem means from the fire offering, that the Kohanim are not entitled to receive any portion until the fire burns the part that is meant for Hashem. Unkelis doesn't say that. Unkelis just calls it the Korban Bornayo. Maybe Unkelis disagrees. Maybe Unkelis holds. Maybe we don't know what he holds. That you are permitted, the Kohanim are permitted to take their portion even before it is burnt on the fire. Because he does not elaborate upon this drush, he just says very simply the word Meishe Hashem means from the fire, from the korban. Alright, let's go now to Pasuk Dalet. Now we're going to learn about Mincha number 2. Okay, we have a nice long Rashi over here. We learned so far yesterday about Mincha number 1. There are 5 different types of Minachos, and now we come to number 2. V'chi sakriv korban mincha ma'afei tanur. Aha! Now we're going to a mincha that's going to be baked. Soiles, so what kind of mincha is this? Soiles, flour. Chalois, matzois. Chalois, matzois. It's a stira. In our colloquial language, these two words are a contradiction. Chala is chametz. Matzah is kosher lePesach. No one calls the matzois you have on the table with the word chalos. You don't say in Pesach, we're the chalos. You say, we're the matzos. And no one during the year says about the chalos that you got by in the bakery, or if your wife makes them, you don't say, we are the matzos. Okay, in our colloquial expression, we refer to chalos as a chametz. You know the joke. I told you this joke a few times. This is a person, this is Project Inspire. Many years ago, Project Inspire, they made a video to tell people you don't have to be a Grois Chacham to be Oisek in Kidur V'Chaykin. You don't have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. They really took this from the commercial on the radio. There was a series of commercials on the radio where they were people encouraging people in New York City in the olden days, before COVID. Today, there's only one thing you have to do today. Get the vaccine. Vaccine is that's the only thing. That's the only thing. But it used to be years ago there were other things you do in life besides the vaccine. And we had commercial on the radio. They'd advertise. It was a different world. I don't know if you remember that world. And they would try to advertise New York City that people should consider adopting children, not adopting, being a shadow. You know, taking some kids, foster kids under your wings. And the most common response was, I don't know anything about being a parent. I don't know the first thing. I can't do this. And they would make these very humorous commercials telling you, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know nothing. You'll learn on the job. They were very, very humorous commercials. They were really, really, really chachma commercials. Go on YouTube, maybe we can find some of those commercials. They're much more interesting than a promotion from Pfizer telling you how safe and effective their vaccines are. Much more interesting commercials. And so they made a little advertisement, Project Inspire. You don't need to be a chacham to be a kibur v'chaykin. And they gave an example. They had a guy sitting by the table, you know, with a beard, you know, Jack, you know, a bentar. And he had a guest who looked like he came from Mars. And the guy says to the balabas, why do you have two chalas on the table? Two chalas, why two? So the guy didn't know what to say. So the guy says, because we just davened. Boy chala, boy chala. I crack myself up. No, you don't like that joke? A waste of time. Okay.
Not bad.
Okay, and then they give another reason. Buy one, get one free. That's not so funny. All right. Those are the olden days. It was a different world. Mr. Rappaport, remember that world? It was a different world.
Yeah.
It was a different world. Today, if you go on the train, they only have one advertisement. Every single slot has one advertisement. Get the vaccine. It's the only thing. It used to be, in the olden days, you know, had different advertisements. They had for movies. They had for sports events. All right, it was a different world. Next. The inn, so over here it says, afitana. Soilus, flour, chalois. Interesting word. What does that mean? Chalois matzis, bilulois bashemen, urikike matzis. And the urikike matzis, mishuchim, what's a wafer that are smeared with leather. Let's have some fun. I have a look at the English. When you present an offering, that's a very interesting word, to present. He likes, whoever wrote this English, he loves that word, present. Is that the correct word? Would you say that? V'chisakri, when you present? Interesting. Sakri means when you come near. When you bring a sacrifice near to Hashem. All right, he likes the word present, an offering. Of meal baked in the oven. Okay, mincha is a final mincha. Me'afei tanur, baked in an oven. Soiles. It shall be of choice flour. He likes that word also, choice flour. I don't know what choice flour is. I guess he means that you have to sift it, take out not whole wheat flour. Okay, only the white stuff, not the whole wheat, not the chaff. Not the chaff, whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, whatever. So matzois, soilus, what does chalis mean? Oh, flour, okay, unleavened cakes. I don't know what that means. Matzois is unleavened. I guess chalitz, he learns cakes. Bilulas b'shemen, with oil mixed in. Probably the article says mingled with oil, right? That's the more sophisticated use. It's mingled with oil. Or kike matzois, what's that? Unleavened wafers. Mishuchim b'shemen, spread with oil. Not bad. Let's see what it says over here. Who am I to say? I'm just making sense because I'm no one to say. I know nothing. These people know infinitely more than I. I just make what's on his head. V'imincha al machat. Well, that's the next pasuk. Pasuk dalit. We go to the right Rashi. V'chisakov. Here we go. Here's a very important Rashi to describe category number two of the mincha. V'chisakov. Sha'ama harilai mincha me'afeitan. A person says, I want to bring a mincha that's baked in the oven. So we learned here a beautiful yesoid. There are two categories. Afei tanur is broken down into two categories. Either afei tanur comes in the variety of chalois, or they come in the variety of rikikin. Ha chalois are belulois. You take flour and you take oil and you mix it together to produce a batter. A batter. V'harikikin are mishuchin. They are smeared. You don't mix the oil. It doesn't seem that you mix it. Now, what does that mean exactly? How do you? What does that mean? So now we go into another level of disagreement. V'nechleku Rabbeinu b'mishichasan. Yay, Sharm, some say Moishchan v'choizer Moishchan ad shekole kol Hashem and Shebeloik. You keep on smearing it. You take oil and you spread it. You don't mix. No mixing. Okay, because the chalois we learned was belulois. Chalois is the oil and flour. You have a stirring spoon and you stir, you mix, or you use your bare hands. Meshuchin means you don't mix. You just pour, you let it sink in to the flour. You pour again, let it sink in, pour again. You take maybe you pour it on top and you just spread it back and forth. And you use up all of the oil that you have in your container. That's what it means. Moishchon v'chayzu moishchon ad shakol l'kol Hashem shebeloik. How much oil? An entire loik. Shakol ha'manachos tunos loik shemen. Okay, I made a mistake. I told you in the previous mincha, you bring a revius. Hahin, that's a terrible mistake. That refers to the wine. That's the minchas nesochim. Oil, all menachos require, it says here, one loik. Okay, that means four kiddush cups. 12 ounces. A kiddush cup is a revius. A revius, a loik. So kiddush, a Friday night, you make kiddush on a revius. Probably most people, I would say on average, their kiddush cup holds about 5. The average kiddush cup today holds about 5 ounces. So that's almost double. That's almost double you really need. You only need for kiddush 3 ounces. You'd be surprised how small 3 is. Someone I know, he told me he really likes schnapps. So he told me that he knows, so he asked me for whatever, what to do. He wants to make kiddush Shabbos day on schnapps. So I told him, you know, you really, it's not so simple. You can make kiddush on a shot of schnapps, because it's only 1 ounce, and you really need a revius. And it's not a simple matter for people today to go to a kiddush, they take a shot, a whiskey shot, which is typically exactly 1 ounce, they fill it up most of the way, and they say, Shakol Mi'ebed V'Roi. Who says you can do that? You want to use Chamar Medina, that's perfectly fine. L'chatchil, the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chatchil, if you enjoy schnapps more than you enjoy wine, L'chatchil, you can make Kiddush on schnapps. But the Mishnah Berurah does not discuss, interestingly, the shiur, how much schnapps you need. And the simple understanding is, you want to make it on schnapps, fine, but you have to have a revius. You have to have a cup that holds 3 ounces of schnapps. You can't make it on 1 ounce. Many people are very lenient, and they say that since it's not the derech to drink so much whiskey, so you're going to use good enough to make it on 1 ounce. Some disagree. You have to have. So he told me, he showed me that he got beautiful. It's a very, very, probably cost a fortune. A becher that's basically exactly 3 ounces. Exactly 3 ounces. I looked at it. I thought for sure it's no good. And then he showed me, no, it's 3 ounces. He proved it to me, he filled it up. He showed me exactly what we're measuring. It's 3 ounces. 3 ounces is very little. It's very little. Take 4 of those. It's a loik. Each one of the 5 minochis, the amount of oil that has to be mixed into the mincha is 1 loik. When it says, when we say in davening in the Musaf, you bring in this animal, that animal, and then it talks about different measurements, that's in regard to the flour. A par requires, I've got all the neschois ready, it requires half, quarter, third, quarter, and then we talk about wine, we have measurements of wine, I've already forgot all the words already, I don't remember anything, but when we say in the Nusach HaTzvila, and when it says in the Torah, different measurements for different types of korbanos, every single korban is accompanied by a mincha and yayin. Now, how much flour? It all depends on what kind of animal you are bringing. If you're bringing a parah, a large animal, a par, then you bring the large amount of flour. If you're bringing an ayil, a ram, then you bring the second measurement. And if you bring a sheep, then you bring the smallest measurement. Those measurements are only with regard to the flour. The oil is a constant. It's always one loig of shemen, which in it of itself is a fascinating insight, because it's the only constant in a carbon. Every time you bring a carbon, think about it, you bring a carbon. First of all, every single day of the year, you have a different type of carbon. Every time the Torah demands that you bring a carbon, it's almost always different. Not always, but usually. Like every single day of the days of Sukkot, you're bringing a different carbon. You start with 13 parim and shiva kevasim, 7 lambs and an ayil. And every day, the set of animals, every single day is different. 13, 12, Shuni Atzeres, Par Echad, Ayil Echad, Kvasim Neshuna, Arbaos are 14. It comes to Pesach, you bring this. It comes to Shavuos, you bring this. You always bring a different set of animals. Okay, so the animals themselves are unique in the day, the number of animals, then which each animal demands a mincha. So if you're bringing a par, the par comes with a mincha according to the par. What is that mincha? How much flour? Large, medium, small. Then the wine, likewise, large, medium, small. But wait a minute, there's one more ingredient that you need for the mincha. You need oil. The oil is a constant. It's always the same. One loig of shemen. That is very interesting. That is not something you can ignore. Because you would say it's not fair. If you're bringing a par and you're bringing the large mincha, the large amount of flour, Shouldn't that require more oil relative to when you bring an ayil, which only requires the medium-sized amount of flour? Then you should bring less oil relative to the par. And when you bring a keves, a sheep, you should bring even less oil, because the amount of flour that's going to accompany the sheep is less than the amount of flour that accompanies the ayil. And yet, no, the halach is no. The halach is the loig is a constant. That is something to think about. Shekol ha-menacha is tunas loik shemen. There's no difference. V'yesh, that was the first interpretation. What it means is moishon. V'yesh, I'm sorry, I'm saying moishon can mean ki. What is ki? Ki is the third letter of the Greek alpha base. The Greek set of letters. And the word that can mean ki basically is a right angle. It's a right angle, upside down. I don't know which way. You always get confused. But basically, it is the third letter in the Greek alphabet, and it basically looks like a dalet, or a chof soifis, maybe better a chof soifis, an en chof. It's vertical on top. Chof soif en chof is horizontal on top with a long vertical line. Ushar, now that's all you do. And what do you do with the rest of the oil? It's a whole loig. Nothing. The rest of the oil is given as a gift to the Kohanim. They can do with it whatever they want. Why then does it say in the pasuk the word shemen twice in this pasuk? Now in this pasuk we have a drasha. If you notice, the Rashi here in this is parasha, a lot of the Rashis are synopses of Dafim of Gemara in Masechta Zvachim and Masechta Menachos. Rashi over here is not really that much, at least what we learned, is not really going in for the coming to fight with Unkelus over a choice of word. Rashi is coming many of these psukim to summarize an entire Daf Gemara. What is the bottom line? He's telling you some sophisticated droshas. Yud Gimel Midos Shatari Drashas, or Kabbalahs that Gemara brings down. It says in Pasuk Dalit over here, Soiles, Soiles, V'chisak of Karba Mincha Me'afei Sanur, Soiles. It says here, what did I say that? V'chisak of Karba Mincha Me'afei Sanur, Soiles Chalasanz, Bululus Ba'Shemen, Shemen. Or Higimahatzos Meshuchim Ba'Shem, Ba'Shomen. Shemen and Shomen. Why do we have to have two psukim? It sounds like, is it Zecher? Or is it Zohar? Okay? Timcha is Zecher. Zecher. Well, Zecher, here it's Shemen and Shemen. Two words, one obviously at the end of the pasuk. Why say it twice? So he tells the drasha to teach you, the repetition to teach you, you do not need the best oil. The best oil is only necessary for hadlokas haneros. It is not necessary for the menachas. That's why it says twice the word shemen shemen. Now we go to another halacha. All of the menachas are baked before the kmitza is done. V'nikmatzos al yidei pesisa. And then v'nikmatzos al yidei pesisa. Now what does pesisa mean? It means to breaking. Breaking, which means they're baked. And by you're going to put your hand into a cake. Basically, these are baked. But before they're baked, you add oil and then you bake it. And then when you bake it, it's like a cake, like a piece of challah. How are you able then to go and put your hand into it and take out three fingers worth? Obviously, it's not easy. And that's what's called pisisa. Mr. Rapport, do you have a translation of the word pisisa? How the article translates the word pisisa?
Look, hold on, I'm right here.
V'nikmatzos al yidei pisisa.
Pisisa, v'nikmatzos al yidei pisisa, and whose three finger breaths, that's kamitza, is taken by crumbling.
Crumbling, okay.
Pisisa, so crumbles.
Crumbling, okay.
As baking has already made them hard.
Okay, so because the baking...
You have to crumble it. It's like it's not soft dough anymore with
no.
the oil.
Right. So it sounds like what you have to do is what it sounds like, if I'm not mistaken, is you take this cake or this product and you basically you pulverize it. If I'm not mistaken, you pulverize it into like a matzah meal. It's like a matzah meal now. And then you're reverting back to like a flour type of substance, and then you do the kmitza. Again, this is we're now up to number two, number three. We learned sofa yesterday. There are going to be a total of five different types of menachas. We learned so far flour. There is no baking. It's just raw flour with oil. Okay, the oil is, you pour a lot of oil and you mix it. You're supposed to mix it. So it's like a paste. It's like a dough almost. And you stick your hand in, and you take three fingers worth. It's like a dough, flour and oil. Here, it's like a challah. Eat Shabbos. Now here's another point we have to make, and this is something which is important. I don't remember the discussion. Do you add water? Do you add water to the flour? Now certainly you don't add water in the minchas soilas. The minchas soilas, there is no water because there's no baking. But when it comes over here to matzos, the definition of a matzah means you have water. So, if I'm not mistaken, this is correct, maybe I'm wrong, but because you're putting this in an oven, and the Torah is telling you make sure it does not turn into chametz, it's telling you you have flour, and you add water, and you make it into a dough, and then you add oil. You add oil. Is the oil put there before the baking or after the baking? Before the baking, how much oil do you put into it? Well, either you pour the entire loig, an enormous amount of oil, not so, it's 12 ounces of oil, an enormous, a nice amount of oil, or you just make a key, you just on top of the dough, the batter, you pour oil like an endchof. You then take this dough and you put it into an oven and you produce what looks like a matzah. And then when you take this matzah, you take it and you grind it up. You basically pulverize it and make it into a matzah meal. Now it's not pure, it's not just flour and water, because since you've added oil, either the oil was added, you added the entire leg of oil, or you didn't add that much oil, you just made a Greek key on the surface of this batter and you baked it. And there's not so much oil then. And then you have basically a matzah, like you have Pesach night, a matzah. You take the matzah, you put it into a grinder, and you make matzah meal. And you put the matzah meal into this bowl, and now you put on top of it levaina, a little levaina, if I'm not mistaken, a little levaina, like before, and then you proceed. You slice it. You slice and dice it. You slice it, and you take three fingers. You take three fingers, and you do the same thing you did by the Mincha of Soiles. Okay? So here it says, let's go finish with the Rashi over here. Let's finish with this Rashi over here. Okay, and it's done on the day Pesisa. Kulon bos eser eser chalis. Now, how many, next question, we didn't really finish this. How many loaves of bread? You bake this batter, and you put it into the oven. You definitely will put in the oven one big massive batter. You have to break it up into small little batches. How many bread? Kulon bos eser eser chalis. V'ha'omor bo rikikin. Boho asara rikikin, and that one, that rikikin, also is going to be asara rikikin. Okay, so we have over here a lot of halachas. Rashi over here has told us an enormous amount of material telling you the procedure. Do we want to cover very quickly? There are two types of afetan. Achalois, the chalois, abululois, and rikikin, meshuchin. All the oil goes down. All the oil goes down. Kulam bois eser eser, they all come 10 apiece. They're going to be 10. So I guess that means you grind up all 10 chalos, it seems. If it's chalos, you grind up the 10 chalos. You make it into 10 different wafers, grind them up, and then you do them. Then you do the kamitz. All right, let's do the unkelis very, very quickly. Varei tikorev kurban min chasav yafei tanuda sulta giritzan. Okay, this is a big topic. This word is a very popular word. People who darshan on this pasuk, it says over here, sulta. We have to do this tomorrow because this is a big, big, big hot topic. Flour, sulta giritzon, patiron de pilos b'mashcha. Okay, this we have to go over tomorrow. I want to spend some time on these words. These are very good words. There's a lot to learn from this over here. All right, Mr. Rapport, thank you for coming. Ezra, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a good night. All the best.
Okay, good night, Rabbi.
Good night, Ezra.
So I was asking the question, Rabbi Lee.